Welcome back to Sports Central. Always enjoy catching up with Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated, talking about all the ins and outs of especially Penn State basketball, because it's something we're both passionate about. Penn State getting set for the Big Ten tournament tomorrow night against Nebraska. Nate, what's going on with you today, buddy? How you doing?
Not too much. Enjoying the weather and, you know, hanging out.
What's up
with you?
Oh, man, 65 degrees. I got baseball practice after this in about an hour, so this is the great time of year, man. All right.
Well, it's not quite 65 here,
okay.
I don't think. It's like a little chillier than that, but it's going to be nicer tomorrow, which I'm very much looking forward to.
All right, we've got a lot to discuss with Nate. The last time we talked with Nate was actually one of the best discussions we've ever had. I put it up as a podcast. We got hundreds and hundreds of listeners. It's probably the best podcast we've had on my website, Nittany Sports Now, about the future of Penn State basketball. So let's kind of revisit that a little bit. But first and foremost, Big Ten tournament tomorrow. Penn State coming off a real nice road win. They've got Nebraska to start. And then if they win that, they've got Wisconsin. If they win that, they've got Iowa. Is it realistic to think that Penn State could put together 2 to 3 wins in this tournament?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, the bottom line with this team this year is that they could beat anybody except for Illinois, right? Like,
yep.
That's the only game they weren't competitive in are the Illinois games and Purdue at home. Other than that, you know, this is a team that played to a basket or two against just about everybody they face. So, yeah, they've beaten Nebraska, they've beaten Wisconsin, and they played tight at Iowa. You know, the flip side is they've lost to Nebraska and they've lost to Wisconsin. So, you know, it could go either way.
All right, so we talked to Ben Jones yesterday from statecollege.com. We'll go with the NIT first, and we can maybe have an NCAA discussion here in a second. But from an NIT standpoint, if they win at least one game, they'll have a good shot for the NIT. If they win two, I think they'd probably be a lock for the NIT. Would they go to the NIT, Nate? I would imagine the school would not just make that decision without letting the players make the decision, right? So what do you think they would take an NIT bid?
You know, I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't realize they were having the NIT this year. Is that
yep.
malpractice on my part?
16 teams. They're not going to do the league champions of these smaller leagues that okay. if they don't win their conference tournament that they go in. So it's 16 teams. Penn State's there. Nate, there's actually NIT bracketology, baby. There's bubble teams for the NIT, Nate. That's how crazy some of this stuff goes. But would Penn State did not go to a bowl game. Would it be something similar? Would these players vote to not go to an NIT? What do you think?
Oh, man. I think the players would. I kind of feel like it's a different situation. It's a different context now from football, right? Football was a grind. They hadn't been home. It was just misery all around, right? I mean, that's what the essence of the football season was. This basketball season has been challenging, for sure. But, you know, I think that there's a realization that there's an end to this, right? Like, not all of these guys are going to be here next year. Not all these guys are going to keep playing. And very clearly, they like playing with each other. They like being around each other. And so I think that if the opportunity is there, sure, they'll take it.
Yeah, and the reason I mentioned about the school, these players are already ticked off about what happened to Patrick Chambers. I can't imagine the administration would say, no, we're not going to allow you to go. I mean, that would just be create anarchy. Okay, Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it creates a problem either way because, right, if Penn State hopes to or believes it has somebody in place – to name.
Correct.
They're hoping for the end of the season as soon as possible.
Correct. The school. That's right. The university, if they've got the head coach in waiting, I mean, Penn State plays tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow and Penn State's ready to name a head coach on Thursday, which, you know, probably not, but that's the whole point of do you go ahead and end the season? But like I said, I can't imagine. Look, we're going to talk about potential transfers. If the players want to play and the school takes that away from them, I mean, that'd be the last straw, would it not?
I think that there's a possibility that the last straw left the building quite a while ago.
Okay, right, sure. So let's get into that. Because the last time we talked with Nate, here was the discussion. I completely understand your position. I think things have changed a little bit with some of the losing down the street. But Nate's position a month ago was, if you don't bring Jim Ferry back, you could end up losing all these guys, and now you're not competitive for a year or two, and it would it be worth it to make that change? So let's revisit that now. If they don't make the NCAA tournament, say they go 1-1, say they beat Nebraska, lose to Wisconsin, and they're done. Where do you stand on if the school should retain Jim Ferry and hope to have all of these players come back to give it another shot, and they're pretty competitive, or if you lose Jim Ferry and move on, you run the risk of, hey, 3, 4, 5 guys all leaving, and now you're left with very, very little in your program?
Yeah, I don't know if it matters at this point, right? Like, you know, okay, keep Jim Ferry and you keep this team together. What does recruiting look like moving forward? You know, what's Jim Ferry's resume, right? Like, if the job had been opened naturally, right, Pat Chambers moves on, would he have been like, is Jim Ferry the direction that Penn State wants to go?
No, in no way. I can answer that 1,000,000,000% unequivocally. Jim Ferry would not have been remotely qualified in the least in any universe to have gotten that job on his own after Pat Chambers moved. There's no way. Not after getting fired at Duquesne. There's just no way. His resume, outside of what he's done as an interim head coach, which is commendable, his resume doesn't remotely stack up to what a lot of these other guys have done.
Okay, and so that's kind of the baseline that you have to work with is, look, there is what is tough to stomach, I think, if you're a Penn State fan, is that it is so hard for this program to make progress. It's so hard for it to, like, it takes time, it takes effort to take two steps, like, because it's constantly a two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes two steps back, sometimes three steps back. But you've had this incremental climb, for lack of a better word, over the last 10 years. And, you know, now they're on the precipice where in 3 of the last 4 years, even when they haven't won, they've been highly, highly competitive.
Yep.
That never existed for Ed DeCellis. That never existed for Jerry Dunn. Like, there were never those stretches of years at a time where you had a competitive basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if players are going to leave, and it certainly seems as though they will, now you're losing that. You're losing all of that momentum. But, you know, there's a piece of me that thinks they understood that. They understood that when they made the decision that they made. They're comfortable with starting over. They're comfortable. You know, it might be begrudgingly comfortable, but they're willing to do that. And so I think that if you're looking at this position moving forward, it is very much a simple question of, if you're starting a program from scratch, who do you want to hire to do that? Right? Like, that's it. Because that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be starting a program from somewhere near scratch. How do you get off the ground quickly, and how do you make the best of it that you can?
Sure. Makes perfect sense. Because as we've talked about financially before, you're going to make about the same amount of money on Penn State basketball, whether you win 12 or 13 games or whether you lose 20 games. You're going to make – or win 20 games. You're going to make your $4.3 million profit. That's about where the numbers fall. Does that give the administration leeway, knowing that – They can, they're going to be in about the same position no matter what they do financially?
Yeah, I mean, the most cynical thing for me to say, and I will say it, is that the best outcome for Penn State basketball from an administrative perspective is for them to go 500 every year, right? Get close to the postseason because you're competitive. And you make it interesting. You compete with all the best teams. and then miss the postseason. Because guess what? The postseason costs money.
Yep.
And the more that you succeed and the more, like, until there's a day where it feels like the return on the investment is going to become greater, that with success, more money will be coming in. It just is what it is. I don't see that changing for the program. I mean, obviously ticket sales can change, but like there is a ceiling to a certain extent as to how much of a return you can get out of this program.
See, it's interesting. Let me just address what you said there, because that is absolutely fascinating. We've gone through this for the last handful of years with the Pittsburgh Pirates too. Their front office was basically, let's just kind of be okay. We can't spend the money to be great. Let's try not to be bad. So what you're saying, if I can paraphrase it, you're saying if Penn State basketball goes 15-15 every year, that's perfectly fine because people will be interested enough, but yet they won't have to pay for the postseason. And I'll even add, they won't have to pay more for a head coach to keep him if he's gone to several tournaments.
Correct. They can't afford that investment. And it's not just the head coach. And I mean, I think that you and I have talked about this. It's the assistant coaching salary pool. It is recruiting budget. It is all of those different factors that make an elite program what it is. Penn State can't afford to do that. And not that it can't afford to do that because there is no money. It's that the money is already accounted for, right? Like, women's lacrosse costs money. Men's swimming and diving costs money. You have a bloated, huge athletic department, 31 sports. Two of them make money that is worth talking about. And it's men's basketball and it's football. And so they count on those revenues of men's basketball to pay for all the other stuff. And, you know, we can debate about how worthy that is as a plan, but it is what it is. Like, that's the bottom line. Those are the realities of what this Penn State athletic department is right now. Ideally you have success every once in a while where, you know, you have a great run and things look really good, but a Penn State basketball program that goes to the NCAA tournament every single year is, I mean, flatly not good for Penn State athletics. That's just reality. It's not budgetarily.
I'm sitting here. I'm so damn depressed. I'm literally sitting here like, son of a gun.
There's always a dollars and cents on the backside of it, and sometimes blunt reality is not fun to process.
It is, and you look. It just sucks. Everything you just said sucks, man.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, you know, if you know the deal and you listen to what Nate just said, Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated, this is just how it is. If you're making $4 million in basketball and all of that money is going to spend on your other programs, and now you've made $3.6 million because you've paid a coach an extra $400,000, well, now you got to find $400,000 to spend on those extra programs. That's what it comes down to, right?
And more important than that, and this is where the rubber really meets the road, is anyone that's listening to this, that's a Penn State fan, willing to take a dime out of the football budget to do so? Right?
Like, absolutely not. I wrote this last week, Nate. They just dropped $150,000 on Dow Loggins and Danny O'Brien, give or take $150,000. They just spent that on two football analysts that we'll never hear from. Now, they'll do great work. Don't get me wrong. They'll do great work behind the scenes. I've said this before. We'll never hear from them. But that's going to cost $125,000, $150,000, $175,000. What if they'd spent that $150,000 on basketball? Could they get a return for that $150,000 in basketball? No.
Nope.
But could they get? Can they get a return on that $150,000 for two football analysts who are never be seen or heard by the public at Penn State?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes, they can.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
man, again, this just sucks to the highest. You like basketball, and we've had these discussions for 10 years. Is it not just depressing to have to fall back on these realities?
It is. I mean, it gets, you know, look, like I don't have a dog in the fight, but I do have to watch, right? There's a product that I have to watch and I have to cover. And certainly it's more interesting and my job is easier and more appealing when there's success. When there isn't, there are some doldrums involved with covering a 12-20 team every year. But that said, yes, there are moments that I can reflect on for Pat Chambers as well as for Ed DeCellis where they got good and they filled up the Bryce Jordan Center on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
But overwhelmingly, right, like that's 1%. That is 2% of the experience that I have had covering Penn State basketball. The norm is far greater for Tuesday night games, Wednesday night games, with whether they're good or bad, with 7,000 butts in the seats. And that is what it is. And so, you know, the direction that they choose to go, I'll be surprised. Like, again, and we've talked about this before. If anybody but the hardest of hardcore college basketball fans can pick out of a lineup and recognize the name that they ultimately choose,
mm-hmm.
I'll be stunned.
Yeah,
I would be stunned.
Yep.
And clarification here. That is not to say that the next guy will not have success or doesn't have an opportunity.
The next guy, I feel confident, the next guy will be a damn good coach. He will have proven himself somewhere. Let's throw Vermont's John Becker out there. Been there 10 years. He won 230 games, lost 95. He's a good coach. Whether Penn State fans have heard of him or not, he's a good coach, but... again, that's the challenge of Penn State is you're not going to get that name person that people know.
You can and further, and this is what is more important as I see it. It's not just drawing up plays to recruit. Like, it's different recruiting at Cleveland State than it is in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you might pluck a kid here and a kid there, and Penn State had some success. And frankly, the new reality of the transfer portal might change that dynamic somewhat, right? Where a Penn State becomes an attractive option for the best player in whatever, the Big Sky, right? Like that is a potential future where Penn State's recruiting relies less on high school prospects than it does on first and second year players coming out of smaller conferences that, you know, aren't going to get bigger looks from, Indiana, Michigan State, but they are going to get an offer from Penn State and they're going to take it. So that provides an opportunity for success, but there's an element of trying to understand that it's not a fair fight when your competition is all in. And if you look at the rest of the Big Ten, literally, including the teams that traditionally have been awful, that includes Rutgers, that includes Northwestern, they are spending money to have successful men's basketball programs now. They're making that investment. There really isn't anybody in the league who's not, other than...
Man, that's great stuff. It's depressing, but it's the cold hard truth. Thank you, buddy. Hopefully we can talk next week about a couple of wins and maybe even the NIT. How about that?
Hey, listen, I will say this. They are 40th in the net right now. Do you know the next team with a losing record after them. First of all, they're the highest team with a losing record, and then the next one after them.
I looked a month ago. It was Kentucky, like at 75. Am I closer?
Yep, right on. Kentucky at 69.
69, yeah. Well, the one thing about it would be, because we had this discussion yesterday, if they win a few games, the issue is 7-12 in the league. Even if you go win a couple games in a tournament and your net's good, I cannot envision, as somebody who absolutely loves bracketology religiously, I cannot see the selection committee ever taking a 7-12 team in their league.
It is so on brand, right, for this team and this program to legitimately, like, they're pretty good. Like, they're a decent team. They've shown that they're a decent team. It is so on brand that 14 of the top 16 strength of schedules, guess where they are?
Oh, sure. It's in the Big Ten. There's no doubt about it. These teams, it's brutal. It's brutal every single night.
It could not have been any more difficult than this specific year in this specific environment of the Big Ten. And then to lose all your non-conference games due to COVID, they never had a shot.
Yeah.
They didn't play a quad four team.
I don't think the overall record. I could see them getting in with a losing record overall. It's the 7-12 in the league. We can get hash that out a little bit more. We'll see what happens the next couple of days. Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated. I love these discussions, buddy. Thanks so much, man.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
That is great, great stuff. Everything he said sucks, man. But that's the truth. He's pouring truth on you, folks.